heard Bruce Crabtree say one time that singing is a lot more special just before you get up to preach. And I'm going to move this. My glasses don't focus at that height. But you do. You pay a lot more attention to the hymns that you're singing just before you preach. And I was, when we preached Amazing Grace, I couldn't help but to think about what the Lord did in His faithfulness 26 years ago when He sent your pastor to Orlando. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And how faithful our Lord's been to take us through all the dangers and troubles and trials over the last 26 years to keep us. And how precious your pastor is to me and to our church and your church here. We're very thankful. If you'd like to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. The Apostle Paul has been through many dangers, trials, and toils in his travels in preaching the gospel. And in God's providence, he has now been brought to house arrest in Rome. And he's continuing to preach the gospel. If you'll notice with me in verse 20, the scripture says, "For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak to you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with these chains." So the Apostle Paul called the Jewish leaders from Rome to meet him so that he could preach the gospel to him, to them. And then in verse 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." That's the title of this message, "Some Believed, and Some Believed Not." There is no other response to the gospel. There's no middle ground. There's no halfway point. There's no compromise that can be made. Every time a man hears the gospel, he walks away from that gospel either having believed or not. How hopeful we are that we will leave here tonight, every one of us, having believed the things that were spoken concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as there are only two destinies for our souls, doesn't matter our race, it doesn't matter our nationality, it doesn't matter our status in this world, it doesn't matter our gender. There are but two. Doesn't matter. Every man, regardless of his place in this world, when he hears the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, will either believe or he will believe not. Concerning faith, I want to try to speak on three aspects of faith. Or four, I'm sorry. I've added one since I wrote these notes originally. The necessity of faith, the source of faith, the simplicity of faith, and the object of our faith. Because that's what believing is. It is faith. The necessity of faith is that there can be no salvation without faith. It can be done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There can be no salvation without faith. I love the message that Gabe preached last night of that Philippian jailer when he came to the apostle and said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul didn't give him instructions on anything to do. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So without faith, there is no substance. And without faith, there's no light and no truth. The necessity of faith is for the salvation of our soul. Second, the source of faith. And as we've just heard, it is God's free, sovereign, irresistible grace that is the source of our faith. I hate it when I hear preachers trying to impress me with a lot of Greek language and so forth, but I want you to notice something in verse 24. The first time the word believed is used in verse 24, it is in the passive voice. That means that the object was acted upon. And so the ones who believed, believed because they were made to believe. I was thinking as you were preaching, Frank, of the Song of Solomon chapter 1. Angus and I have been talking about this the last few days, where the bride of Christ says, Lord, draw me and I will run unto thee. Draw me and I will run unto thee. We must be drawn. We must be made to believe. We are passive in our salvation. Same thing's true about every aspect of our walk with God. Lord, if I want to love God, Lord, if I'm going to love you, you're going to have to put the love of God in my heart. If I'm going to obey you, you're going to have to make me to obey you. You're going to have to, Lord, I'm dependent upon you for everything. We are passive in our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of our works, lest any man should boast. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you do not receive? If we believe the gospel, it's because God made us to believe it. Some believed, and some believed not. The first time we find the word grace in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 6, when the scripture says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was grace that singled Noah out and made him to differ. And so it is with you and I. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And she believed. We're passive in our salvation. Paul, in breathing out threatenings against the church and raising his fist to heaven against God, was arrested passively. He was acted upon on that road to Damascus, wasn't he? And later he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, call me by his grace, reveal Christ in me. It all happened at God's pleasure and by his power and at his time. Now, am I suggesting in any way that we sit back and say, well, you know, that we just have to see what God's going to do? No, the truth of grace is what causes God's people to beg for it. It's what God causes God's people to plead for it. Lord, I can't come unless you draw me. The Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can I be born again? Oh, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit. Now, that's a work of grace. And the Spirit's like the wind. You don't control him. As the wind listeth whithersoever he wills, so the Spirit of God is such. And Lord, I'm dependent upon you for every part of my salvation. He's the one who has to take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. The seeing eye and the hearing ear are both of the Lord. I don't know if I'd use this illustration. I've used it with our folks several times. But faith is to our salvation like breathing is to our physical life. When a baby is born alive, it breathes. It breathes. It didn't become alive because it breathed. It breathed because it was alive. Sometimes we say, well, you know, that baby was ready to come out. That baby's never ready to come out. It's the mother's body that can't handle it anymore. And it's the mother's body that pushes that child out. The baby, the Lord likens this new birth in Christ to the physical birth. And so just as we had nothing to do with our physical birth, and our breath came as a result of being alive, so it is in salvation. We don't have faith in order to have life. Faith is the result of our life. It's the result of it. So the question that I have for myself and for you is, are we willing to be saved passively? Are we willing to be saved by grace? Are we willing to be saved God's way? Are we willing to be saved without making any contribution to our salvation? The ones who believed, that's how they were saved. They heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God moved on their hearts, and they believed the things that were spoken concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe give God all the glory for their faith. Now, I want you to notice also in verse 24, the word believed not is in the active voice. In other words, they actively believed not. They wrested the scriptures and to their own destruction. Here's the point. If we're saved, it's all God's fault, and if we're not, it's ours. It's just that simple. If a man believes not, he has actively decided. Salvation is not by choice. That's some believed, passive. But to not believe is by choice. So for those who believe not, they decided to believe not. They chose to believe not. They were active in their unbelief. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and causes some to believe. Others, the Lord leaves us to ourselves. We will actively resist the gospel. We will oppose ourselves and oppose God. And we will decide not to believe. See, some believed, passive. And some believed not, active. And that's always the case when the gospel's preached. Always. Frank, you quoted that passage from James. Of his own will begat he us. He birthed us. And we breathe because he gave us life. By the word of truth. So, the source of our faith is the acting of God's grace on us. We are passive in that. And it's the Word of God. The Lord uses His Word, the foolishness of preaching, to save them which believe. The Scriptures are our only authority. But faith just believes God, doesn't it? Whatever God says, what saith the Scriptures, we just believe God. It's amazing to me how some can say, yes, Bible is the only authority, and then they'll write creeds and confessions in order to test the Bible by it. And they do. They use their creeds and confessions to judge God's Word. We have the Word of God. We don't look to creeds or confessions or commentaries of dead theologians. I like what I heard one preacher say when he said, you know, the Word of God sure does shed a lot of light on them commentaries. And that's so true, isn't it? So true. We don't look to logic or reason or man's wisdom or to our experience or to feelings or traditions or visions or dreams. We just believe God. Paul expounded unto these Jews from the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And some believed. And some believed not. And notice in the next verse, at verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, you see, those who are made to believe and those who have opposed God by believing not can never agree with each other. They can never agree. They agreed not among themselves. What is it that we'll get to that. Christ is the living Word. The Word was made flesh, and the Word was God and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. So they believed the things that were spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. Some of us have come from religious backgrounds that claim to believe the Bible as the Word of God, but we really didn't. We didn't believe what the Lord said in John chapter 17, I pray not for the world, I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world, thine they were, I'll give it them unto me. I've kept them. We didn't believe Jacob I've loved, and Esau I've hated. We didn't believe that. We didn't believe I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy and whom I will I'll harden. We didn't believe it is finished. We didn't believe the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knew it was there. We knew what the word in the Greek was. Well, that's the word tetelestai, and it means paid in full. And then we turned around and tried to tip God for the payment that had already been made. We didn't believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. Or for whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to his Son. Them that he did predestinate, he called. And them that he called, he justified. And them that he justified, he glorified. To make it even more simple than that, we did not believe that Jesus was God. We did not believe that he was able to save by himself. We set ourselves up on the throne of God. And we made God dependent upon us in order for him to be able to accomplish our salvation. And all along we said, oh, the Bible is the word of God. We didn't really believe that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, if God makes you to believe, you're going to believe every word of God. Every word. You're going to believe God's sovereign and successful in salvation. So the necessity of faith is that we must have faith if we're going to be saved. And the source of faith is the grace of God by the Spirit of God declaring the Word of God. And some believed. You just believe. You can't not believe. When you're passive in your salvation and the Spirit of God works on you and convinces you that this is God's Word and that Jesus Christ is God, you can't not believe that. You see, you didn't decide to believe it. You were acted upon passively. You can't not believe. Thirdly, I want us to look quickly at the simplicity of faith. The simplicity of faith. Some believed the things that were spoken. Paul didn't send them to a new members class to be taught a better way. He didn't have them interrogated by the elders to see if their faith was... They just believed God. He didn't have them sign a church covenant. He didn't evaluate their experience. He didn't even have them pray a prayer. You know, that's real popular in religion. You know, if you just pray this prayer. They just found themselves believing everything that he said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ from God's Word. And that's the believer's experience. Is that your experience? Is that your experience? You cannot believe. You were passive and the Spirit of God just made you to believe the things in God's Word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, all of it. Well, it all concerns him, doesn't it? In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now think about that thief on the cross. There was nothing in his life that he could present to the Lord Jesus Christ to recommend him and to for the hope of his salvation. And there was nothing in his experience that would have convinced him that man hanging on a cross just like his next to him, bleeding and dying, was the Son of God. Why is it that he believed? One believed and one believed not. Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. He knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was being crucified as an insurrectionist. He was being crucified as a murderer. What reason would he have to see this dying man hanging next to him and come to the conclusion that that's God? He was passive. God convinced him of that. And God left the other one to himself. The simplicity of faith. Ethiopian eunuch, after hearing Philip preach the gospel from Isaiah 53, said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that this one you just preached to me is the Son of God. I believe everything that you just told me about Christ from God's Word. He baptized him. And when Jairus, the servants came and told Jairus, "Trouble the master no more, your daughter is dead." The Lord looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." You see, believing is not, it's not something that we have to add something. It's just believing. It's just believing. You just believe. It's so simple. Men make it very complicated. When the Lord came to Martha and Mary in John chapter 11, and the Lord said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, I know, Lord, that he'll rise on the resurrection. And the Lord said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" "Yea, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God that should come into the world." You see, believing is not something complicated. It's simple. Mark chapter 9, when that man brought his son to the apostles and they weren't able to help, and he brought him to the Lord, and he said, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." And what did the Lord say to him? "If thou canst believe." Can you believe? Only by God's grace. But when you do, you just believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Let me tell you a secret about preachers. I'm talking about myself right now. We get discouraged sometimes with the lack of commitment on the part of some church members. And so we will make statements like, "You know, you can know about God and not know God." And believers are immediately smitten with, "You know, maybe just what I know is about God. Maybe I don't really know God." Or, "You can miss heaven by 18 inches. Maybe you just have a knowledge of God in your head, but you don't really have him in your heart." And the believers, child of God, when you hear that kind of talk, what do you think? "Well, maybe that's all I've got. Maybe I just have an intellectual understanding. Maybe I don't really know God." Or, the most often quoted passage from the Old Testament to the New is found in Isaiah chapter 6, where the Lord said, "They will have eyes, but they will not see, and ears they will have, but they will not hear." And you think, "Well, maybe that's all I've got. Maybe I've just got eyes, but I really don't see, or ears that I don't hear." The Lord was talking about those self-righteous Pharisees, the ones who objected to the gospel and the ones who actively believed not. Even Job's words, I had heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee. Maybe I've just heard about God and I haven't really seen. You see, what we do when we talk like that is we point men to their experience and we try to bolster their religious activity in order to correct their lack of commitment. And all we do is wound those who are trying to live and walk by free grace, and we cause them to stumble. You see, the discrepancy is not between the head and the heart. The discrepancy is between the heart and the mouth. All men are liars. And men will say Jesus is Lord, but they don't believe Jesus is Lord. They will say Jesus. You see, here's what I'm trying to say. The simplicity of faith is not just to, do you say that he's Lord? Do you believe he's Lord? People will say Jesus Christ is God, but you listen to their definition of God and they've dethroned God. They've robbed him of his deity and they've changed the whole definition of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Not just do you say that he is, but do you believe that he is? You know, in religion, we used to identify the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses as a cult because they outwardly denied the deity of Christ, while at the very same time we were denying the deity of Christ. Making salvation dependent upon anything that man does. Making it anything other than a passive work of grace by the Word of God in our hearts to just believe God is to make salvation a work. There will always be abusers of free grace. Always. There will be many who will say, who will hear the gospel and think that it's a license to live as they want. But as soon as we use the law to correct that, all we do is wound and rob the believers who are rejoicing in free grace and trying to walk by free grace and have their only hope and strength by free grace. Oh, I pray the Lord will keep me from ever doing that again. The simplicity of faith is that you believe. You really do believe. And you can't not believe. And you don't have anything to do with your believing. You heard the gospel and God made you to believe it. You were passive in it. And here's the statement that sums up the entire human race. Some believed and some believed not. Where are you? Where am I? Oh, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help my wandering, stumbling ways. Help me from, you know, we're so prone to wander. We're so prone to leave the God that we love. We're so enticed by the things of this world. And yet the Spirit of God will not let you. The Spirit of God will convict you of that sin. Bring you right back to Christ. Who himself is the subject of our faith. He's the object of our faith. Paul preached to these Jews concerning Jesus from the law of Moses, from the Psalms, and from the prophets. Starting with Genesis chapter 3, I'm sure he told them, this is the seed of the woman that's to crush the head of the serpent. And going all the way to Malachi chapter 4, I'm sure that he said, You know, this is the Son of Righteousness, which arises with healing in his wings. And when the Lord came to those disciples after his resurrection, and the scripture told this, the Lord said to them, all things must be fulfilled in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the grace of God. What a glorious thing. And we say, there's Christ. And every time we preach, you know, people say, well, I didn't see that, but I see it now. I see it now. Turn over one page from our text over to Romans chapter 1. Paul preached those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe. If you believe, it'll be by God's grace. By the preaching of God's word. And it'll be simple. Just believe. What? Believe what? Well, look at verse 3 in Romans chapter 1. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's who we believe. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, trusting him for everything. We've got no place else to go. Lord, where should we go? You alone have the... To whom shall we go? I misquoted that. When the Lord said to the disciples, he said, will you leave me also? Peter didn't say, where are we going to go? He said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, you've shut us up to yourself. This is what we believe. This is what God makes us to believe. This is who we believe. The God-man, who according to the flesh was the Son of David, but by the power of the resurrection declared to be the Son of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. The sovereign, successful Savior of sinners. Our surety. Our substitute. The one who satisfied everything that the Father required for our salvation. Some believed, and some believed not, and they agreed not among themselves. Why is fellowship among believers so sweet? I think you spoke on it, Frank. I know I've heard somebody say it recently. you mentioned we have the same teacher. We have the same gospel. We've been given the same Spirit, and we're not in disagreement. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the sin bearer. If I'm going to be saved, he's going to have to save me. He's the eternal, self-existent I am. The uncreated creator and sustainer of the universe and all things in heaven, physical and spiritual. We believe that he accomplished our salvation. We believe that he suffered and died. And that the Father saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. We believe that the only righteousness we have in the presence of God is his righteousness. And we believe that the only hope we have of our sin being separated us from us as far as the east is from the west is to be covered by the blood of Christ. That he bore all the shame and all the suffering. Turn with me, and I'll close with this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, notice to be is in italics, sin. The Lord Jesus Christ bore in his body on Calvary's cross all the sins of all of God's people. God sheathed the sword of his justice in the heart of his own Son. It pleased the Father to bruise him. He laid down his life for his sheep. He shed his precious blood, put it on the mercy seat, and God said, there, I'll meet with you. God made him sin. Who knew no sin? Now, I've never heard a God-sent preacher accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of committing any sin. He's not guilty of committing sin. He bore our sin. Well, let me ask you a simple question. All of us know what guilt is. When you feel guilty, what is it that you're really experiencing before God? Shame and separation. Is that not the definition of guilt? Shame and separation? Turn with me to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Here's, let me preface this by just saying that this is a great mystery. I don't pretend to understand this. We stand in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, the holy, harmless, sinless Son of God, being made sin. What all that means, I don't know. But I know what shame is, and I know what separation is. Because when I feel guilty, that's what I experience. Psalm 38, verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Is that not shame? Look over in Psalm 40, verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. Is that not shame? When the Lord Jesus Christ cried from Calvary's cross, Psalm 22, separation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible says he didn't look up into heaven and say that. Having been made sin, he could not look up. This is what we believe. This is who we believe. That God the Son took our sin and experienced to the infinite degree. Oh, the shame and separation that you and I experience ain't much, is it? Don't last long. We get over it pretty quick. He experienced shame and separation to its infinite degree. And the Father saw the travail of his soul. And the Father said, I'm satisfied. your shame, your repentance, God won't be satisfied. God made him sin. All the shame and separation that comes as a result of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ knew it to its infinite degree. And he bore it for his people, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's not a pasted on righteousness. That's our new man. Holy and perfect and sinless before God. And that's our hope. Our hope. We stand in the presence of a holy God and be blameless? In Christ we can. Some believed. Passive. And some believed not. Active.